Call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe PAGS.
All right, great radio stations all over the place. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all that and more right there. It's the Joe PAGS Show. Coming your way on a Monday. Ah, yeah. That's a Motown Monday. Man, it's good to have you along for the ride. It's a big show today. We've got a big one coming your way. Carrie, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, doing great.
Sawtime.
Good to have you along for the ride. Man, there's a lot going on. Carrie, I made that clear, haven't I? There's a lot going on.
You have. It's going to be a really, really big show.
Is it one of the coolest stories that we've had, I think, in a while?
I think it is, so. Right? Definitely, yeah.
We've got, I'll just go through the whole story again because I think it's worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think it's worthy. So it was sort of the story of the day the other day. Was it or was it not Sarah Palin?
It was, yes.
You know what I mean? But that was the story of the day because we didn't know. And one thing that we're clear about is that Sarah Palin has been treated like garbage by a lot of people in this country. I mean, we can agree to that, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think the media treated her like crap. I think the Democrats treated her like crap. I mean, in his passing, John McCain treated her like crap. Didn't even invite her to the funeral.
Right.
So we're floating around on Friday. It was Friday, right? It seems like forever ago.
Yes,
now.
It was. Yeah.
We're floating around on Friday. And by the way, Carrie's in a new studio, so I think you're being quiet for a reason. I just want people to understand there's a lot of duck feet moving into the water today,
crazy.
But we're kicking ass and taking names, and we're still going to do a great show for you, I promise. And by the way, let me just say this. Dan and Jason and all the engineers have been absolutely amazing. Gonzo, I mean, these guys have done amazing work. So when it's done, and it's not done yet, but when it's done, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're floating around on Friday. And, you know, we're on two stations in Alaska. We've got 112 stations now nationwide. We're on Newsmax TV, where the entire world can see it if they want. And I get this Facebook message from somebody not named Sarah Palin saying, hey, it's Sarah Palin. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know?
Right.
That was my reaction,
Sarah,
right?
Palin. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just wanted to say that I like what you had to say, and you're absolutely right about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and all this. And I'm like, I wrote back, and what I said was, wow, you've got a famous name. and her response was, oh, no, it's really me, I promise. And I'm like, well, that doesn't tell me anything. You could say you promise, but, I mean, I can be Joe PAGS and say I'm Sarah Palin and that I promise. But if nothing else, what we wanted to do, and Sam, you were in on this too, because you're calling numbers and we just were looking to protect the governor, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that was our priority number one, Carrie.
Yeah,
the last thing
I want to
do is take a phone call from somebody saying they're Donald Trump without
and
me verifying
really
that it's
not
Donald Trump.
Yeah, you don't want a faker.
So we don't want to take that kind of chance. So I said, tell you what, send me an email. Send me an email. And she does, but it's not from Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
although it is from @sarahpalin.com. So at that point, I'm like, okay, now I'm intrigued because you really couldn't send it from that email address or from that website unless you're at least connected to the family. So I'm like, what is going on here? Then she sends me another email from a Gmail account. And I'm like, okay, now you're just confusing me. So in my infinite wisdom, I decided, and Sam's like relaying all this information to them as we're doing the show Friday. I said, I'm going to send you a tweet. Just like it. If you like the tweet, the only person who's got access to Sarah Palin on Twitter, which is @SarahPalinUSA, would be her or her family, you know, or those who surround her and that are managing, you know, social media. So they're not liking it. They're not. So I'm telling you, even Carrie, I'm like, yeah, this isn't her.
Yeah, I didn't believe it. Mm-mm.
There's no way this is her.
No.
That's silly. Come on, somebody make it up. So then I gave Sam the phone number. I said, call and Sam, tell the people what you said to me.
I said that it was her.
No. Tell me what you said before you called. You forget?
I forgot what did I say?
I'm not calling her. I said, well, why not? You said, I'm embarrassed. Because it could have been.
I was really embarrassed.
It could have been anybody in Alaska. But if it really was Sarah Palin, I mean, that, hi, it's Sam calling. I'd like to talk to Sarah Palin. So you did eventually call. It only took 20 seconds for you to say no, and then you said yes. And you called, and now you're not talking to me at all on the radio. I mean, I'm talking to me through our little chat thing that we do, and I'm not getting anything from you. So I'm like, is it her? And your only answer was yes. So, Carrie, at that point, you're still thinking it's not her. I'm still thinking.
I
haven't even retweeted my stuff. It's not her.
Yeah.
And then Sam says, I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure. And she says, I'm talking to some guy named Todd. I'm like, well, Todd's her husband. So I'm like, I said, well, just hang up with them. And we hit a break, or we were in an interview that I taped earlier or something. And I actually called the number. And Todd, hey, how's it going, Pags? Yeah, hold on. Like, what are you doing? What? What is happening right now? So, hold on a second. Hands the phone to Sarah, the person saying, she said, hi, Joe, it's Sarah. I said, no, it's not. This is not Sarah Palin.
You did say that when she's talking to
her. And I'm saying, it's not Sarah Palin. This is you are not. And I said, is that an iPhone? She said, yeah, they're all iPhones. I said, can I FaceTime you right now? And I FaceTimed her, and it was, in fact, Sarah Palin. Yeah. And I showed it to you. And
I know, I got
I didn't
the picture.
Post it. I don't know that I told her that I was going to post, so I didn't post the picture. And we got to talking, and it was great. And she actually says, I couldn't get through in the phone lines. They were too busy. I'm like, well, it's a busy show on the phone line. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. That's how it all went down. I was like, well, I only have like 2 minutes left in the show. Do you want to come on? She said, well, no, I don't need to come on. I just want to tell you that you made a great point of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I hadn't heard anybody else say that. And it's exactly what would happen. And Murkowski's this, that, and the other. So we were talking with him over the weekend. And long story short, we have Sarah Palin on the show today. And that'll be bottom of hour number two. It'll be 7:30 Eastern time. And we're going to talk about, is she going to run against Murkowski? Do you know?
I don't know. Are we going to find out?
About to find out.
Okay.
Okay, and also, I wanted to compare and contrast how her family was treated in 2008 with how Kavanaugh and his family have been treated in this ridiculous last month that we just had. And how is it that Murkowski says she's a Republican when she's got real issues with First Amendment and Second Amendment, and now her excuse for why Kavanaugh wasn't the guy was just because he's not the right guy at the right time, which doesn't make any sense. And by the way, does Lisa Murkowski get to walk away from the vote on Saturday? For those of you who had your heads in the sand, yes, he is now a Supreme Court justice, and Lisa Murkowski voted no. But then she rescinded the vote. Did you see all that go down, Carrie?
I did, yeah. Heard about that.
I mean, I'm like, what the?
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting. Very interesting. We talked about all of that and then some. And those of you who see it on television, it'll be on Newsmax TV as well. She's like standing next to a beautiful lake in Alaska. I'm like, what is going on here? You know what I mean?
Isn't that
it's
crazy?
An amazing shot. Yeah. So we'll have her on. It's 888-941-7247, 888-941-PAGS. And it's not really about Sarah Palin. I've already done the interview, and I'll bring it to you in about an hour and a half. But this really is about what happened this weekend. You do have a Justice Kavanaugh. Was it 51-47? Is that what it ended up being, or was it 50-47?
I believe it was 50-48.
Could it have been 48 because Daines is out? And 50-48 because Daines and Murkowski were both out. Daines was actually at his daughter's wedding, and Murkowski ended up rescinding her vote, so she just votes present. Although the first time around, she did vote no, and that's important. The people of Alaska need to realize she did say no to Justice Kavanaugh, and she never gave a good reason why. Then the idiots tried to protest, and then who was scratching at the Supreme Court door, which made no sense. I mean, the whole thing has just been dumb. Will the Democrats now take a breath and back off? Or are they going to continue this ridiculous outrage for no reason? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags. Not in-
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. For those of you who are listening on the live stream, I guess you were hearing Carrie twice, so Carrie had a nice reverb. You actually had a button and you didn't even realize it for a while.
Oh man, that kind of stinks. Wish it did, but
yeah, so it's gone now.
Oh, okay.
I was actually giving them two sources, so I was giving them you twice, and they were a little bit off, so it sounded like an echo. So that's actually kind of cool.
Okay.
So there you go. Yeah, your voice is sounding awfully chocolatey at the new studio. How do you like the new studio?
Really? I do. I love it. It's very, very fancy around here.
It'll take a little getting used to, because I think the processing is a little different, maybe a little bit closer to the mic than usual. But either way, you sound your amazing self. You could tell you're in a different place.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good, though.
All right. It is 888-941-PAG. So, Carrie, do you have a nuts and bolts of what happened this weekend, or do we even need it anymore? I mean, it happened Saturday.
Well, yeah, I do have, I mean, the latest, if you would like it, and, you know, what Democrats are planning to do now.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. This is from Fox News. The narrow confirmation of now Justice Brett Kavanaugh over the weekend marked a major political victory for President Trump and the beginning of a new battle for Democrats, who are now shifting their message to threaten possible impeachment against the newest high court justice and question the legitimacy of the Supreme Court itself. After a grueling confirmation fight that included graphic sexual misconduct allegations, which the nominee denied, Kavanaugh was confirmed Saturday on 50-48 vote. A ceremonial swearing-in will be held Monday evening. But as he joins the court, replacing retired Justice Anthony Kennedy, prominent Democrats signal the fight over a seat, and the court itself will extend well beyond next month's midterms. Now they want to impeach him. It's an insult to the American public, Trump said Monday, still fuming over the confirmation process and predicting Republican candidates would only benefit from the controversy in the midterms. Democrats, though, maintain the fight's energizing their core. We will not stop marching. We will not stop fighting, DNC Chairman Tom Perez said in a statement. Over the weekend, former Attorney General Eric Holder said the court's legitimacy should be brought into question with the addition of Kavanaugh.
So, I mean, they're actually talking about impeachment?
Right.
All right, so let's break that down. Who gets to impeach? Which body, the House or the Senate?
The Senate.
The House gets to bring impeachment. The Senate would say guilty or innocent, or guilty or not guilty. So the Senate would actually hear the trial. The House has to call for impeachment. So, I mean, it's stupid. It's a waste of time. It's political wrangling. It's dumb. It's backward. It's disingenuous. It's ignorant. It's unintelligent. Should I just keep going?
You could.
The House right now cannot impeach anybody because the Republicans, well, I guess they could if they chose to impeach, but they won't. The Republicans in the House are in support of Brett Kavanaugh. Okay? And, I mean, there will be no impeachment unless the House goes to the Democrats in November. Now, here's the weird part for me. The Democrats aren't smart enough to know. And, I mean, I don't think they're dumb, generally speaking, but this is a dumb move. They don't appear smart enough to know that the Republican and conservative base doesn't want Brett Kavanaugh impeached, and we don't want Donald Trump impeached. So saying that he's going to be impeached is ridiculous. That can only happen if they win the House. They're actually hurting their chances of winning the House. So here I am, six in one, half dozen the other. Do I want them to keep saying that they're going to impeach so that more Republicans and conservatives go and vote? Or do I want them to stop saying it because it's so stupid? I don't know. I actually don't have a good answer for myself when I ask myself that question. Self, what do I want? I don't know. Gary, I don't have a good answer.
I gotcha.
But that's really where we are, right? I mean, that's really, truly where we are. We're at a place where either the House doesn't realize, or the Democrats don't realize, that they can't impeach unless they have the majority, and they don't, not in either House, in the House or the Senate. And they're actually telling voters, vote for us, we'll raise your taxes, we will send jobs away, we'll make the unemployment rate go up, we'll try to get Medicare for All at the tune of $32 trillion, something we could never do. We're going to impeach the president, impeach the Supreme Court justice that was just placed. I mean, they think that's a winning combination. They actually think, let's abolish ICE, let's open the border. They think this is a winning combination. So I guess I kind of want them to keep yapping. I kind of want them to keep on talking, keep on saying stupid stuff. And at the end of the day, what you're going to have is a Republican majority in both the House and Senate, and they might gain in both the House and Senate. So I guess I'm leaning toward keep on saying it. I don't know. I guess that's what I want. I would guess.
I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon either. So
I guess I just don't understand why they think Democrat voters are going to be somehow empowered to go to the polls. The typical Democrat is a center left-leaning person. It's not a fascist. It's not a far leftist. It's not an Antifa or BLM person. They're not an anarchist. The average leftist or the average Democrat, somebody who identifies as Democrat, they still believe in fiscal conservatism, a lot of them, and just on social stuff, they lean to the left. They're not going to run out and try to get rid of this guy on the Supreme Court. They're not going to run out and try to get rid of the president. They're not going to run out and want impeachment. And by the way, I think you're right. You probably still hear about impeachment for the entire run of this thing because the media, although I don't think they really care one way or the other about Donald Trump, I know that they pretend like they're against him, they want impeachment because if you impeach, then you've got high ratings. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello to AJ.
Big-time Motown Joe. Hey, you know what? You got to have common sense to stop stupidity, right?
And I would think so.
You got common sense. And I mean, stupid as stupid is, and you know, and I applaud the Democrat sheets that's following these idiots. These people don't have no idea of what they're doing or how to run a country. Look at the last 8 years of Obama. That should show you what they lied to you all about. Get your red hats on, get your butts to the poll, and get with helping this economy get better. Don't sit there and go with the bamboozling again. Wake up, sheep. You the Democrats is using you like a bad habit. Come on, people. Look at this, what they doing to this. At Big Time Motown, you know I ramble on a Monday. These idiots.
I'm okay with it.
Around.
I'm okay with it. Ramble. Come on.
These idiots are making it bad for the real rape victims. Big Time, you got daughters, yeah. I got daughters.
Right.
And dag nabbit, I want to believe and go with if something happens to my child. And I got son. And if my son, I want to make sure that he just don't get accused and he's able to defend himself.
Right.
All you people wake up and understand what the Democrats are doing to this country or trying to do. We got to put a stop to it on November the 6th with the red wave. This will cut off the confusion of what's going on. But Big Time Motown, you know and I know and you know and I know the Democrats never going to quit. It don't matter how
much. Yeah, but AJ, you know Democrats, and they're not people who are yelling about impeachment. They just are confused. I mean, the Democrats who are in charge here saying impeachment, do they really think that's going to work?
They know it ain't going to work, Motown. But they got the media behind them spewing off this stuff. Half of the Democrats don't even know what's going on. They voters, most of them don't even know what's going on unless they look at ABC, CBS, and they tell it wrong, and CNN. And if you're looking at them, you know you lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
So therefore, Motown, they're getting the right information out to their people. People are the Democrats. Sheets, get on the red wagon. Because you will prosper big time if you move away from them KKK double rats. And I said it. They rats. Love you, Big Time.
I love you, too. Love you, too, AJ. All right. Man. Yeah, just take a breath. The man gets excited. Kerry, he gets excited. He gets charged up.
Mm-hmm.
He gets
every
going.
Time.
And I'm just telling you. All right, keep it here. Much more to come on the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video stream for hours 1 and 3. Hour 2 is on Newsmax TV, along with incredible radio stations. The Joe Pags Show coming your way. Glad to have you here. I just posted over on Instagram. So, again, you've got to go to joepags.com and click on Instagram. Or, while you're at Instagram, just put in JoeTalkShow, Joe Talk Show. And the picture I just posted was the a shot of Carrie and Polo hard at work in the new Joe Pag studio. I love that.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Hard at work getting it done is what you're doing.
Screens. Mm-hmm. It's very fancy around here.
It's extremely fancy. It's fancier than where I'm sitting. I'm like, hey, can I get a big screen? They're like, no.
Mm-mm.
Only Carrie and Polo will get that. But I like the logo and the screen and everything, man.
I know.
Really nice.
It's really cool, doesn't it?
It is extremely cool. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Kathy in Michigan. Kathy, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, Joe. Hey, I was telling Carrie, I didn't know you were going to have Sarah on later. And I'm saying that she got a raw end of the deal.
How so?
Well, she never said, I can see Russia from her house. It was Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live, and they carried it. Everybody carried that, and she never said it was Tina Fey.
Well, I know what she said this time, though. She said, I can see 2022 from my house. She did say that. If I had a bet on it, well, I'm not going to tell you because you got to listen to the interview next hour. But I asked her specifically, are you going to challenge Murkowski in this race? And I think a lot of people in Alaska would be happy for her to do so. And the whole can I see Alaska or can I see Russia from my house thing was interesting. And, Kathy, thank you. But the thing is, Palin didn't care. She just kept on, well, you know, you can make fun of me. You can, you know, run me through the ringer. My job is going to be the vice president of the United States. I'm not really worried about what you're saying. And I think that was the right way to handle it. But at the end of it all, it really was, you know, it was hurtful. It was hurtful to McCain-Palin ticket. It was hurtful to the process. And then you had this, you know, alleged rock star guy on the other side. He walked out wearing his suit. He could read a teleprompter well, and suddenly he's the guy. It was all very weird. Carrie, I always enjoy getting these. I just got this. And you know I send out the Facebook messages before the show.
Mm-hmm, I got mine.
If you have ever sent me a message, you're going to get a Facebook message. And this guy, William Brown, mm-hmm. He's a black guy. You know how I can tell?
How?
There's a picture of him on there.
Okay.
And he writes, you are a racist AH. I guess it means Appleheart. Mm-hmm. Just wish for once you would call out president on the lies and false statements of "I can't do that, then stop texting me." So I don't know really what that means. It's really, really bad grammar.
Understand.
Yeah. And then I said, oh, Facebook tough guy, huh? Call the show. Tell the nation about how I'm a racist and be specific. Mm-hmm. He writes back, you can call me, not scare.
Uh-huh. Okay. No, it won't be happening.
So I'm guessing present tense, he's not scare.
He's not scare. And
there is no D on there.
I think you should.
But I should call him. Now, mm-hmm. keep in mind there's no phone number listed here. I'm not going to go look through his account trying to find one. Let me go ahead and give him the number because this will be fun.
There you go. All
right. 941-7247. I'm not scare either. Is that wrong to say that?
A little bit out of line? A little bit.
So listen, you know, former governors and former vice presidential nominees can find me through Facebook, and so can Willie.
That's right.
Who's not scared of me?
Sarah Palin can. No.
That's right. All right, it's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. So Kavanaugh's in. Do you think he's going to be impeached? Do you think the left is dumb enough to keep on running for election on impeachment? Listen, already the president won. He won because he won way more states than Hillary Clinton did. He won more electoral votes. He won. He was the winner. Saying that you want to impeach him and thinking to yourself, well, now that he's been in for almost 2 years and the economy is so good, unemployment is so low, new jobs are so high, manufacturing coming back, everybody got a tax break who pays taxes. So a lot of you, 3 to 4 million Americans got an actual check, a bonus check from their corporations or companies. What exactly is it that you think he did since he won their vote for election that makes them now want him to be impeached? And the answer is nothing. You're just dumb. So, again, I guess I think I want the impeachment talk to continue because I think people who are rational, logical thinking people will say, well, that's dumb. I'm not going to vote for that. Let me go back at it. Say hi to Dave, who's in Michigan. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Well, hi. I just wanted to thank you for starting off your show today with Shotgun.
You're welcome.
Junior Walker and the All-Stars came from Battle Creek, Michigan. They're originally out of Benton Harbor, but I did not know
they were from Battle Creek. I mean, obviously they're on Motown, yeah. But I didn't know it was from Battle Creek. Go ahead.
In fact, their drummer worked for me for 20 years.
Wow.
And, so, yeah. But, hey, there was something that just kind of blew my mind when I was watching the hearings with Dr. Ford.
Okay.
And they used in a question to her the word exculpatory. And here's this woman that has a bachelor's degree, 2 master's degree, and doesn't she have more than 1 doctorate? But anyway, she said, I don't know the meaning of that. How? Maybe there was a hidden message there. But how could she not know the meaning of exculpatory?
Well, she knows the meaning. And how could she also not really know what it means to, you know, to ask how long was the polygraph? She also didn't really know what it meant asking who's going to pay for the polygraph. She didn't know who was paying her lawyers and when. I mean, she gave a lot of answers where she said a lot of I don't knows. Because if you say I don't know, you probably will get away with it. What we're finding out now
crazy.
About people contacting her friend and trying to pressure her into changing her testimony, the whole thing stinks, and it really makes the Democrat Party look horrible. It really does. It makes them look absolutely stupid, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them looking stupid. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Back at it, it's going to be Chuck in San Antonio. Chuck, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. Great show. Proud to have you as a San Antonian. So,
thanks.
You know, I hope you're right that most Democrats are kind of down the middle, but I worry because the current demo-socialist leadership is using tactics that we have seen before in history. Think Bolsheviks, think Fidel Castro, think Venezuela. You know, what do? You suppress any kind of dialogue. You marginalize anybody who is opposition. You ban religion. You defeat anybody who is educational. You don't allow them to speak. And that is exactly what this demo-socialist leadership is doing. And I wonder if the average Democrat realizes how incredibly dangerous that is to our nation. I think that they will try to do the impeachment. I think they will try to continue to oppose anything just because they have to shut down free speech and anybody that opposes them. Anyway,
I agree with you. Thanks for the call, man. I agree with you. They're trying to shut down anybody who disagrees with them, and at the same time, they're trying to say that he's shutting them down. Like, I watched the rally. Was it last night or Saturday where he was in Kansas? And he's just, man, he's riffing. Kerry, he was riffing. It was the Donald Trump show. And he's up there, he's just riffing, and he's pointing at people, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And he's doing just knocking it out of the park. And he keeps on pointing to the fake news in the back row. And that's where all the news cameras were lined up. And when he does that, they play the victim. They try to pretend like they're the ones who are marginalized. They're the victims here. And he's trying to shut them down. When in reality, what he's doing is he's reacting to their horrible reporting. I don't know, you can call it reporting, how bad it is. He's reacting to their fake news where they have to go and correct themselves all the time. He's reacting to their lies about what he is or isn't doing. Now, the only time that he really crosses the line is when he says we have to change our libel laws and our slander laws. Then I could hear, you know, them complain. That complaint would actually be valid. But to complain that he's actually calling you out on what you said, the media thinks, and I've looked at the Constitution several times, looking for this line that says, you know, you may not criticize the media. It's not in there. It says that the press will have to be free. The government cannot stop a free press, cannot stop your free speech, cannot stop your freedom to worship as you see fit. It doesn't say that we're not allowed to comment on your press or your speech or your worship. It doesn't say that. In fact, it inherently protects my ability to say, I think you suck as a journalist. I think you suck as a media member. I think you suck as somebody who claims to be a reporter. And I'll say that from the highest mountain in America because my First Amendment says I can. And they seem to miss that. They seem to lose that point. They seem to think that, I'll give you an example. Kerry, you're going to do a story at the top of the hour for the many radio stations that you do news for.
Mm-hmm.
Are people allowed to say, or are people allowed to criticize your newscast?
Yes.
Of course they are. Will they be right? I don't think they'll be right. You don't think they'll be right, or else you wouldn't report it that way.
Right.
But they are 100% absolutely allowed to comment on it and be negative or positive. They could say anything they want about it. And the idea that people are going to misreport on this president or report how he doesn't like it and he doesn't have the ability to then hit back and say, oh, yeah, you suck as a reporter. You are fake news. You're not going to get an interview, and I'm not going to give you a sit-down as I might give to Fox News or to PAGS. He's allowed to say that. He's allowed to criticize. He's allowed to comment on what it is they're claiming is news. And I would have to believe that those who are in the news media are smart enough, are intellectual enough to understand that he's allowed to respond that way. Now, they pretend they don't think he's allowed to, but he is. Now, if he starts saying, you're fake news, I'm throwing you in jail, that's a different story. I'll actually stand on the sides of the journalists. But that's not what he's saying. He's just hitting them back. And that bothers their fragile little egos, their narcissism. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Nailed it.
No, you didn't.
Nailed it. Words,
no.
Too.
No. Not at all.
By the way, she sounds great right now, Paul. I'm just saying. Come on, Carrie. You sound really good. Sing it. Come
I will
on.
Not sing. I was her. To have a girl like and you shouldn't either.
What? Come on, I nailed that.
Mm-mm, no, you did not.
You're saying no?
I'm saying no.
Why are you saying no?
Because it's terrible.
Because you're a naysayer? You're saying nay?
I am saying nay to that.
Can't believe you're saying nay. It's rude.
Yeah.
It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. We're about 42 minutes away from Sarah Palin, her own self, former governor of the great state of Alaska, and also, of course, the former Republican nominee for vice president of the United States. And Carrie, I hope that you get to spy the video of this as well. And those of you listening on radio, don't kill yourself trying to watch it on Newsmax. On your app, just get home, and then you'll watch it later when I post it, or watch it on TV if you get home in time. But yeah, it's like wilderness and a lake behind her. I'm like, whoa, what am I looking at here?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, isn't it? Mm,
you saw the picture I sent, right?
Yeah. Oh man, it's beautiful.
And of course, did I send you the picture with Todd too?
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, let me get a screenshot of you two. So damn cute. So yeah, it was great to talk with her. We break it all down. I mean, we don't play around. I'm like, are you going to run in 2022 for U.S. Senate? And her answer is really, really good. You got to stick around for that. I compare and contrast how Kavanaugh and his family were treated, because you know, Carrie, something really good happens in your life. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you get home and you tell Mario, oh, man, this great thing happened. You know, like, the when you started working with me, you're like, I'm so happy.
Oh,
this
yeah,
guy is so
I
amazing. He's the best
say.
Thing ever. Really
right,
just incredible. Never
crazy.
Ever have I seen a broadcaster like this before. I mean, this guy's really.
Dude, like, come on now.
That isn't how it went?
Not quite. But
you've had times in your career and in your life where something really great happened.
Of course.
And then you're high-fiving and you're belly-bumping and you're just, yeah, let's go out to dinner, let's go celebrate.
Celebrate.
And the next thing you know, the entirety of the media is now in Alaska trying to find anything they can find on you and claim that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
same thing they do with Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh spent almost 30 years of his career doing everything right just to find out that he was an absolute piece of garbage in high school.
Yeah, pretty much.
And his little kids have to hear this garbage. Which is nuts to me. So we compare and contrast how she was treated, how her family was treated with Kavanaugh. We also talk about what is the future of a Republican like Murkowski in Alaska that voted against the confirmation of Kavanaugh. What's the future of somebody like that? Is it time or is it not time that we actually, as conservatives who believe in traditional American conservative values, you know, step up to the plate and say enough is enough with these kind of people? So we talk about all of that. Make sure that you make plans to stick around. We'll take your phone calls in the meantime. Let me remind you about Blink. Blink is a great camera system. We've got it at the house. Several cameras. I could pull up on my phone anytime I want. I can find out what's going on in real time, or I get alerts when one of these motion-activated cameras, it's a security camera, whenever it picks something up. And what happens is you have peace of mind. You can say, oh, the dog set it off. Oh, you know, my child came home from this or that or the other. Oh, who's that dude? We've got to find out. Call 911 and you get some help. Blink motion-activated HD cameras are wire-free. They set up in minutes. They run on batteries that last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor what's happening at home anytime, anywhere, right on your smartphone. No contracts, no subscriptions. And Blink works with Alexa. So here's the deal. Get 3 Blink cameras for way less than the other guy's charge, plus an extra 15% off. Visit blinkprotect.com/pags for details. blinkprotect.com/pags. blinkprotect.com/pags. Blink is an Amazon company. So there you go. Go and get that. Let me go to the phone lines at the time that we have remaining. Let me say hello and welcome to, going to be Karen in San Antonio. Karen, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Thanks, Sam, as well.
You bet.
I'm calling regarding the potential Kavanaugh impeachment issue.
Yeah.
I thought that one could only be impeached for an alleged offense committed while actually in office. How can the Democrats even attempt to impeach Kavanaugh for something he allegedly did while not even yet serving on the court?
The only thing that they have to hang their hats on is, A, he's already been on the court. He's been in the federal court, so he's already a government employee. They might be able to say, well, he was already a federal judge when he testified, and they're claiming that he committed perjury. They're claiming that he lied while under oath about his activities in high school or something. Of course, they have nothing to corroborate that, but I think those are the grounds they would try to bring. I think they would try to say that he lied under oath while testifying in front of the panel.
They're very thin grounds.
Oh, there's no grounds at all. I don't think that it would go anywhere. But the fact that they're even suggesting it tells me that the voters, I think the voters are smart enough to know this, the voters should probably say, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Carlos, I don't want to keep you holding. I only have about 30 seconds, man. Make it happen.
All right, man. I'm just saying he went in there as a moderate to begin with, but after all this, I think it's going to sway him. I know that he's a judge, and he usually goes by the law. Well, they do go by the law, letter of the law, but this is going to sway whatever inkling he had in his feelings on certain subjects into just straight right, because he knows what they're capable of now.
Well, I think you're right. I think that they probably did push him more, and we love when Carlos calls in from El Paso. I think he's 100% right. I think that this judge now will say, look, whereas I was going to be even more open-minded hitting this court because he's not as far right as Gorsuch or Scalia, this might tell him, wow, look at what left politics in this country really do. Let me focus exactly word for word on the ink that's on the Constitution. I got to do a quick break here. When we come back, it's going to be many more of your phone calls. Is it Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day? We'll talk about that and Sarah Palin next hour. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Monday. You know, it's a Motown Monday. Let's go. Along with Carrie Lockie, who you will not see on television today because we're in the new studio now and we should have it worked out by tomorrow. Carrie, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
You finding your way around the new equipment just fine?
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's a good looking joint, isn't it? It's nice.
It's very, very nice. It really is. Did a fantastic job.
You going to raise your game now that you're in new digs?
I don't have to raise my game.
You know what I mean?
I do know.
I definitely don't have to.
Oh, really? Well, I don't have to.
Oh, either. No. Mm-mm. What they said was, your game is exactly where it needs to be.
They said
thank
it to
you.
Me, too.
Thank you, Joe Pags Show, for paying for our move. I'm like, you're welcome.
Really?
Pretty much. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's be real.
Okay.
All right. So it's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Even as we speak, the president is swearing in Kavanaugh, right?
That is right. 6 o'clock Central Time. Yep.
Swearing in Kavanaugh, who already was sworn in. This is a ceremonial swearing in, and that's good. It's all well and good. the talk of impeachment is still out there. The Democrats sound like idiots talking about impeaching somebody who has done nothing impeachable, yet they're going to impeach him, they're going to impeach the president of the United States, and do all that stuff. Plus, today is Columbus Day. Happy Columbus Day. Happy Columbus Day!
I don't think you can say that anymore.
Oh, I can.
No,
yes, I can.
You're not supposed to.
I just checked. I can totally say it.
Mm-mm.
You
it's
know why?
Indigenous
because
person's
what exactly
day.
Is an indigenous person? What is that?
I don't know.
Help me understand.
I really can't.
Because the people that were here when, by the way, Spain sent Christopher Columbus here. Spain, you know, that's the country where allegedly there are a different race of people come from. Hispanic people or Latin or Latino people allegedly come from Spain. Even though it's right by Germany and France and Italy, for some reason they're not white in Spain, they're Hispanic or Latino. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so Spain sent Columbus, that would mean that he's good, right? He's a good guy because, I mean, they're not white from Spain. That's what we've been told. That's why, you know, Latin American countries, they're somehow marginalized and they're not evil white people like Carrie Lockie. Let's be honest, Carrie's white, very white.
Hey, what about you?
What? No. I'm Olive.
Oh, give me a break.
Olive.
You're white.
Girl.
You're white.
Olive.
Please stop.
So...
Please.
So we've got that going on. He came from Spain, and he thought he was going to India. Christopher Columbus smoking a little bit too much of the ganja he picked up along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say those microphones there are picking up everything, just letting you know.
Do you know what that was?
I love you. You dropped your phone or you
that
smacked
was
your leg?
Me.
What was that?
It was Polo and his Yeti. I think he opened it up to get some ice and then
I'm telling you, they
the
pick
lid.
Up everything. They're very loud, those mics. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So anyway, the bottom line is Columbus was good and stoned. I think he was watching a Cheech and Chong movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, is this India? And then the people that he saw, he called them Indians. And, of course, they weren't Indians. And they were the people that were already here. Now, I think today... Those on the left want to call them Native Americans, although I'm a Native American. Kerry is as well. So is Polo. I mean, we're Native Americans. We are native of this land. But if you say indigenous people, somehow you are now righteous and you're morally correct and so on. Studies have been done by anthropologists over the years that actually show that the so-called indigenous people have a lot of their heritage based in Europe. Huh? That's right. I mean, at some point, millennia ago, they traveled across the Bering Straits. They traveled all the way through Alaska, down through Canada, and ended up coming here somehow. Then, I guess, populating Mexico and so on. We can't truly talk about history. We have to pretend we know something about history. And if we get rid of Columbus Day because Cristoforo Colombo was not a Spaniard. He was Italian, and Italians are the evil white man, especially if you're a Northern Italian. I'm not sure where Christopher Columbus came from, but he's Italian, although he was commissioned by the Queen of Spain. Therefore, you can call him a bad guy. If he were from Spain, I'm guessing you couldn't call him a bad guy because then he would be Hispanic or Latino, and then you have to give him a pass because that's other than white. That's really what we're dealing with. So, Columbus, Ohio, many would say, is named after, I don't know who, Carrie.
Christopher Columbus.
I understand you've got a little something on Columbus, Ohio, and what they're doing today.
As a matter of fact, from Fox News.
Please do.
Columbus, Ohio, the Midwestern American city named after Christopher Columbus, is not celebrating the famed explorer's federally recognized holiday and will instead honor military veterans in its place. The city has observed Columbus Day probably for as long as it had been in existence, a spokesman for Mayor Andrew Ginther said, but this year the capital city's offices will remain open and instead close on Veterans Day, which falls on November 12th. The mayor's office said the decision wasn't made because many U.S. cities are replacing their observance of Columbus Day in favor of Indigenous Peoples Day, but rather because the city doesn't have the budget to give its 8,500 employees off on both that and Veterans Day. We have a number of veterans who work for the city, and there are so many here in Columbus, Davis said. We thought it was important to honor them with that day off. And the celebration of Columbus Day, held on the second Monday of every October, has become growingly contested in recent years, with more U.S. cities choosing to honor the nation's indigenous people with their own day, which has been recognized by the United Nations since 1994. The explorer's history has been divisive, as some historians claim Columbus committed atrocities against the Native Americans he encountered as he came to America. Tyrone Smith, the director of the Native American Indian Center of Central Ohio, said the city's move to not celebrate Columbus Day is a victory for everyone. The past is the past. It may not be pretty at times, but we cannot hold what happened back then again today's society, regardless their bloodline, he said. And the fact the city of Columbus is taking action is a victory for everyone. But Joseph Contino, an organizer of the city's 39-year Columbus Italian Festival, which is typically held on Columbus Day weekend, blamed the move on what he said is a politically correct culture. It's very in vogue politically right now to do that. It's not PC for me to say anything against indigenous peoples, he said. You can kick Christians, you can kick Catholics. That's the message that it sends to us, and that's what it feels like. We're Europeans, and we lop Indians' heads off, which is just not true.
Yeah, you know, and he's right about that. And what are they going to do? You'd have to think the next step is changing the name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you heard dumb moves or drives or pushes in the state of Texas to change the name of Austin, the capital. You can't call it Austin because the guy Austin was no good SOB. Oh yeah, how about Houston? You got to change that one too. I mean, where do you get the name Texas or Tejas? Is that in trouble too? I mean, it's a Spanish word. Can you use Spanish words in the San Antonio? It's named after Saint Anthony. So, in other words, you can't name something after a saint. What should we just call it? Antonio? Should we just call it Saint? Should we just call it? I don't know what we're supposed to do anymore. But the next logical step would be, instead of Columbus, Ohio, we would name it Indigenous Peoples, Ohio, wouldn't we? Hey, I'm gonna go, you know, get that big conference coming up in Indigenous Peoples, Ohio. Is that what we're going to do? Is that where we're headed? Or maybe can we use some common sense and say, without Columbus in that journey, and you don't know, and I don't know, and nobody living today has any clue whether he was this horrible guy or whether he was a great guy that was attacked by the so-called indigenous peoples and then fought back. We don't know anything. We do know, though, in 1492, the world was being conquered by the stronger of the combatants. That's the way it worked. In that day and age, that's the way things went down. It wasn't the modern day where you could tell somebody off on Twitter. So Columbus coming here, just stand back from it. Overall, a good thing or a bad thing? I'm going to go with good thing. My vote is good thing, because if you look around at the great world we have and how civilized the first world is, and we're pushing the third world to catch up, and how much we've achieved as a race, the human race. I mean, I would have to think discovering or rediscovering or landing on the new land was a good thing. And by the way, there are American Indians that still exist today. And why don't we go on and on and on about how horrible the Aztecs were, the Mayans were in Mexico? Why don't we do that? Why don't we talk about how horrible Spain was for conquering Mexico? That's why they speak Spanish there. Why is it always, let's find the nearest white guy and blame him for the horrible atrocities in our history? Everybody else who's ever done anything, if their hue is a little bit darker than Casper, they're okay. But the white guy is in big trouble because he's white. It's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'll take calls on that, certainly. I've got a guy, though. John is on line one. John, stay there. I'll get to you after the break, who is going to tell me how the media doesn't and I don't understand impeachment. We're all wrong about it, but John knows the answer, so we'll take him in a moment. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Glad to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. Sarah Palin at the bottom of the hour. Yes, that's Sarah Palin. It was her on Friday contacting me. We'll make sure we bring that to you right here. Let me go to John in San Antonio. John, what's going on? Hi.
Hi, Joe. I'm one for one. This is the first time I've called, and I'm sort of glad you took my call.
Okay. What's happening?
Well, every time you and other people in the media use the word impeach, you're using it incorrectly.
How did I use it incorrectly?
Okay. Impeach means to charge.
Right.
And it's derived from the Latin term of catch or entangle.
Right, which is what I've always said. How did I use it wrong?
well, they're going to impeach the president, or they're going to impeach.
Right.
You've left out the whole process of conviction.
No, I haven't.
The House of Representatives.
John, I don't think you've been listening very well. I'm going to go through what I know and what I've always said, and then you can correct the other media members if you want, and I definitely want you to talk about it, but you're making a really bad assumption here. What I've said is the Democrats are running on the idea that if they get the House of Representatives back, they will impeach the president. Impeachment doesn't mean remove. Bill Clinton was impeached, but he wasn't convicted. Impeachment is you bring articles of impeachment. You allege that they somehow did a crime of impeachable substance, which would be high crimes and misdemeanors. You bring those articles of impeachment in the House of Representatives. If the Democrats won the House, they'd be able to do that. Then they would send it to the Senate, and the Senate, because it's still dominated by Republicans and doesn't have a 67-member majority that would ever convict, then the guy wouldn't be removed. It would go away. They would do this only to muck things up. I know exactly what impeachment is, but you sound like you're a very knowledgeable guy. Maybe you could say it in a better way than I just did, and I'd love for my listeners to hear it, but please don't make an assumption that I'm using it wrong. Go ahead.
Well, I am wrong if it's exactly how you've been portraying.
I've always said it that way. Always.
Okay. In the sole court for impeachment trials is the United States Senate.
Yeah.
And the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court presides over the trial.
Okay.
And a supermajority of 2/3 of the senators has to vote to convict.
Yeah, you'd have to have 67, as I said.
Right. And Andrew Johnson was the first president to be impeached.
Right.
And he won by one vote. And then Bill Clinton was impeached, but I have no idea what the
I don't have the final vote tally on that either. But we did talk to Ken Starr a few weeks ago here, and he was impeached. He was actually right. And I asked Ken Starr, was it because he lied under oath? He said, well, that plus obstruction of justice, but more importantly, it was abuse of power was the main reason why Bill Clinton was impeached. And you're right. It went to the Senate, and he was found not guilty.
Correct. In the charges are treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Which is kind of weird to describe a high crime and misdemeanor. I think the House of Representatives, the Democrats, think they've got Trump on obstruction of justice because of what he allegedly said to Comey, which, again, there's nothing there. And on Kavanaugh, I have no idea what they think they have other than potentially perjury in his testimony, which can't be proven because I don't know how you go back to 1981 to find out if he's telling the truth or not.
Okay.
All right,
you get a pass on this.
It's what
I'm
do.
Sorry,
it's No, it's perfectly fine. It's actually understandable why you would assume that everybody in the media is doing the same thing, because the vast majority of Americans, John, and I think you know this, and that's why you called in, they think when you say impeached means removed, and it doesn't mean that at all.
Right.
It's the start of the process in the House that ends up in the Senate, and it's very, very hard to impeach somebody. And if the Republicans still have a majority in the Senate, and they probably will after November, it's going to go nowhere. But I'm not really sure why the Democrats think running on that. Let me ask you this, because you sound like a smart dude, and I think you probably have a good answer to this. Do you think the Democrats are running on impeachment because most people think it means remove?
Well, yes, I do. I think the Democrats do, because I don't think they're smart enough to read history books or Google impeachment. But
it's probably true. It's as simple as Googling it, and they just haven't done it.
Right. But and this gives more force for the Republicans to go out there and really fire up the vote. So we make sure that we have the majority in the House of Representatives, and we have a majority in the Senate. So, you know, this hopefully will light a fire under Paul Ryan's and Mitch McConnell and a few other butts out there to go out there and start campaigning for the Republicans that are running for office.
John, I hear you, and I appreciate you, brother. I do appreciate you wanting to educate, but Carrie, you know, I'm a little sensitive like that. I try to make sure that I'm right before
mm-hmm.
I report anything.
That's
so
true.
If you're going to say I'm wrong, make sure that you show me how I'm wrong.
You better back it up. Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. So it's not that hard. All right. John, we appreciate you. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Are they still doing the Dog and Pony Show in Washington?
I do not know. I don't have a TV right now, so I cannot tell you.
In that fancy studio, you don't have a TV? Oh, that's right. My big fat logo is on the TV.
Hello? Yeah. I'm like, getting rid of that.
Which is exactly how it should be. What do you mean, get rid of that?
I'm just
kidding. That logo stands for you. It stands for Polo. It stands for all of us.
We love it. I'm just kidding. It's awesome.
Rude.
It's awesome. It's very beautiful.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let's go to Jack in Boston. Jack, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Pegs, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
I want to say it is a good day to be an American. I was very happy to see not only Justice Kavanaugh get confirmed, but also sworn in. And democracy is alive and well. I will also make this prediction, Joe, if I may.
Yeah.
That the Republicans will maintain a majority in the Senate, and they will maintain a majority in the House as well.
I think the House is going to be harder. Jack, but I mean, after this 3 or 4 weeks with Kavanaugh, I think that a lot of Republicans are going to be motivated to go and vote.
I hope they don't forget. They have a very short memory,
No, Jack, I appreciate you. Thank you. We love being on in Boston. What's interesting is I think he's right. It's almost unfortunate that this all went down a month before the election. You know what I mean? If it goes down 2 days before the election, everybody's going to go and vote. Screw this. I'm not going to deal with this again. Left, right, middle, whatever the hell you are, you're going to go and vote because it just wasn't right what just went down. It just wasn't right. But now that it's a month out, and again, look, I'm not going to give the Democrat talking points. Look, they can keep on doing what they're doing because it's really dumb. But, I mean, they have a month now to fix all of what they just harmed. And they just did a lot of harm to this country, to our system. I mean, they literally said, it doesn't matter at this point if he's innocent or guilty. Think about that. Spartacus actually said due process doesn't matter. Period. End of story. Have a nice day. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. When we come back, it's going to be former governor of the great state of Alaska, former vice presidential nominee for the United States of America. She was on the ticket with John McCain. It's Sarah Palin, listens to this program every day as she's dropping the kids off at school or picking them up. And we really, we enjoyed finding out that she likes the show on Friday, and I enjoyed even more having a conversation with her not very long ago. You're going to see it on television. You're going to hear it on radio. And, yes, I do ask her very directly, are you planning on taking on Lisa Murkowski in 2022 for the Senate seat that she now holds? Her answers are very interesting. I mean, again, she's awesome. And the scenery behind her, I got to get up to, Carrie, got to get to Alaska.
Me too. Quick break here. It's beautiful.
Back after this.
Joe Pags.
Across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. So glad to have you along for the ride, and I'm thrilled to have the former governor of the great state of Alaska, also the former Republican vice presidential nominee for the United States of America. It's Sarah Palin. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for not being mad at me for that whole thing like Friday. Because, and the people know, I was actually, this was unfolding on the air. I don't know if you were listening, but I was telling them what was going on. And I got a random Facebook message from somebody not named you who said, hi, it's Sarah Palin. I'm picking the kids up or I'm dropping the kids off. And I'm listening. I just want to say good point. And I said, man, you've got a famous name. And it cracked me up what your answer was. Do you remember what you said? You said, it's really me, I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, hold on.
It was hilarious going back and forth, though, and I so appreciated it. Oh, my goodness. Somebody is cognizant of the fact we get punked a lot. And
yes.
You probably gets punked, so thank you for doing that. And no, it was funny, I started getting the calls and the texts from people up here in Alaska listening. I'm hey, Joe Pags is trying to get a hold of you, and I'm like, I know, and I'm on three different phones trying to verify it's me.
Well, I tried to verify it a few ways. When I got the email back from sarahpalin.com, I knew that it was somebody connected with you at least. But then I sent you a tweet that you guys couldn't find. And then finally I just said, do you have an iPhone? Let me FaceTime you. Let's just settle this once and for all. And thank goodness we got it together. Thank you so much for reaching out, by the way.
Hey, that's funny. And then one other thing about that is Yeah, so I'm grabbing Todd's phone. Todd's grabbing Piper's phone. We're in the kitchen by that time, out of the vehicle, and we're all pressing all these buttons trying to figure out how to say, yeah, it's us.
And it worked out, because you pressed the button, you took my FaceTime, and there you were. I was like, well, that's definitely her. It's not Tina Fey. That's her. That's the lady. All right, now you got a hold of me, because you were seeing what was unfolding in Washington, D.C. I still, to this day, Sarah, have no idea how Lisa Murkowski became the senator. As a write-in? Really? So that's the starting point for me. And then she says, as a Republican, I can't support Brett Kavanaugh. And the reason she said she couldn't support him was that he's not the right guy at the right time. Did the people of Alaska accept that excuse?
No. And go back even further from her write-in campaign after she lost the GOP primary up here. Remember, it was her dad, Senator Frank Murkowski,
yeah,
after having served 22 years in the U.S. Senate. He gave his daughter the job when he was elected governor up here.
Right.
He served one term, and then I ran against him and defeated him.
Right.
But that's how Lisa got in. That's how Lisa has stayed in, essentially, because, man, once you're in and you have these special interests from around the country,
right,
funding you, you know, it's tough to hold them accountable and say, okay, enough is enough, time to go. But no, irrational reasoning that she provided regarding that that vote against Kavanaugh, because, as you point out, she said he's a good man. It's not about qualifications. And I'm like, wait, it is about qualifications.
Of course it is.
And whether he's a good man or not. Yes. So it didn't make sense. And then her speech on the Senate floor was just kind of talking in circles. So,
right.
No, Alaskans are very, very, very disappointed, because, Joe, as you had suggested, as you had outright said on Friday, the things that she's putting in jeopardy, not just for the state of Alaska,
yeah,
but for this country. I mean, it comes down to the Supreme Court having so much within its grasp, having to do with our solvency, our sovereignty, and she was willing to play some games with that.
Well, she was willing to play games, and the point that I made that I really appreciate that you liked was about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I'll repeat that in a second. It's Sarah Palin, of course, the former vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party back in 2008, and, of course, the former governor of Alaska, and just a great all-around person. Sarah, you didn't know this, but I wasn't going to vote for John McCain. I was going to write in my mother's name until you got on the ticket, and then I voted for you. So, and I think a lot of people actually did that. The point I made Friday was Lisa Murkowski and people like her were actually putting in the hands of the most liberal court in the United States, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, issues of Alaska and everybody in the West Coast. In other words, if the Supreme Court is 8 members and it's tied 4-4, and almost every ruling would be 4-4 now, it goes back to the previous court, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals would decide the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Tenth Amendment for Alaska. What did that make you think?
Well, bingo. That's exactly right. And, Joe, I was so impressed because nobody else was talking about that.
Thanks.
What her action was essentially bolstering the Ninth Circuit's, had she had her way in this. The Ninth Circuit's out of San Francisco,
right?
You know, talk about injustice and justice being delayed for Alaskans, because that court, 60 million people there to quote unquote serve. It's the largest by far. The second largest is the 11th, and they are only serving 35 million.
Right.
So there is such a backlog of cases, and not even talking about the ideology behind that very, very partisan, very liberal court.
Yeah.
Is just practical reasons why, no, we don't want to give them any more power, any more say over Alaska. So for Lisa to be messing around with that, that's very, very dangerous. Another thing is that President Trump, thank you, Lord, President Trump saw the light and is allowing ANWR, finally, decades yeah. and decades of the nation understanding what ANWR has in terms of resources to help our country become more energy independent, that inherent link between energy and security, energy and prosperity. That's ANWR. That's our oil and gas development here and Texas and elsewhere, that Lisa would put that in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And Trump gave that to her. He gave that to her, to Alaskans, but it was through her. And that was a real nice thank you, Trump, that she
right.
pulled there.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's Sarah Palin. Of course, you know Sarah Palin. I've got to jump on that. We are reliant on people in the Middle East that don't necessarily like us. Why not go and get, and from what some of the geologists have said, it's 200 years worth of oil there in Anwar. Why wouldn't we go and get it, become self-reliant, and turn the spigot off to these bad guys? And by the way, Lisa Murkowski voted no. I want everybody watching and listening, especially those of you in Alaska, she voted no on Kavanaugh. Officially, it's a present vote because later she changed it for Daines, who was going back to his daughter's wedding. So she said, I'm just going to vote present to sort of counterbalance what his vote would have been. But she, on the record in the first round, said no, literally.
Well, absolutely. So that's a typical political move. That's a typical politician wanting to kind of play both sides. If she truly had a problem with Kavanaugh being on the bench and she said he's not the right man for the bench, then her vote then, the final vote, would have reflected that instead of saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this because it doesn't really count anyway.
Right.
That type of thing. No, if you really believe something, if you have that compass pointing due north, knowing what the right thing is to do, then you fight for that. But instead, very wishy-washy. And she'll learn, you know, when you're standing in the middle of the road, you get hit on both sides.
Exactly right. It's Sarah Palin, the former vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party 2008, also the former governor of the great state of Alaska, and just a great person. And I love that we're having this conversation. Are you going to take her on? Because your tweet might have been the best tweet I've ever seen this entire year. It was Lisa Murkowski, I can see 2022 from my house. Talk to
right.
me. Is that going to happen?
You know, the only thing that's keeping me from just being balls to the wall enthusiastic about the idea is it's 2022.
Yeah.
That's so far away.
Yeah.
That's almost frustrating looking that far. But for someone like me who's always preaching to people, stand up, make a difference, take the gifts and talents and opportunities God's created for you and get up there and make a difference. Well, you know, I can't just keep preaching it and not jumping in also. So at some point, one of these positions I would so desire serving this country, and we'll see where that goes. Hey, Joe, before I forget, too,
yeah, sure.
When we're talking about the Second Amendment, which Judge Kavanaugh is, he's absolutely pro-Constitution. He's
right.
There for the Second Amendment. Lisa unhesitatingly voted for President Obama's picks on different judicial positions, including Halligan there on the D.C. Circuit. She's pro-abortion. Totally anti-gun, anti-common sense constitutionalist is she, and Lisa, no problem at all. So she continued to exercise that, to vote up and down, it was always up, for Obama's picks, but wouldn't give that same respect and that same consideration for a good man like Kavanaugh. Another problem that Lisa has and that Trump has is that Lisa has many never-Trumpers around her.
Right.
She was a never-Trumper. And she's hired a lot of never-Trumpers. Trump then has hired a lot of never-Trumpers. And some of these folks, you know, we keep warning him about, you can't win them over. They're going to continue to undermine. And
right.
That's quite unfortunate for the Trump movement.
Well, why does Lisa Murkowski have an R under her name? Is it just to get the votes in Alaska, hoping that people won't pay attention to the record? What you just said just now in the past minute would tell me I can never vote for her.
Yeah, and that is why, yeah, that R by the name. I mean, it's the consummate rhino.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's Sarah Palin, the former vice presidential nominee and also the former governor of the great state of Alaska. Sarah, in the moment I have left, I would be remiss if I didn't go back to how you and your family were treated by the media when you were announced. And I imagine I've had some days in my life that were really great. I was like, tell my family I just succeeded at doing something. I can imagine when you're told John McCain wants you to be the vice presidential nominee, almost like Brett Kavanaugh being told Donald Trump wants you to be in the Supreme Court. It's got to be jubilation. It's got to be unbelievable joy and high fives and belly bumps and butt slaps. And then all of a sudden, the media says, we're going to get her. And they send dozens and dozens of people to find anything they possibly can on you. Same thing they did with Kavanaugh. Can you relate to what he must have gone through in the past month? I'm guessing you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, the Obama administration and the media, they sent up dozens and dozens and dozens.
It was sick.
Right here where I'm standing right now in my yard,
wow.
Literally in the yard to find anything. But yeah, I could relate. The thing that I disagree with Judge Kavanaugh on is his proclamation that it has devastated or destroyed the family. Nope, it doesn't destroy your family. You circle the wagons. It actually it can be used as fuel to get out there. All that the mocking, the lies told about you. No, use that as fuel and really use it as empathy for other people who go through
yeah.
a bunch of crap in this world, because everybody does. Use that to empower you to get out there and do the right thing and fight really, really hard for the underdog. Fight really hard for those who don't have that platform, that microphone, to speak up for justice.
It's Sarah Palin. Last question, and thank you so much for doing this. I just have to know, as you see the left becoming even more unhinged, when you hit the national spotlight, it was 10, 11 years ago now, and it was unhinged already, but now it's ridiculous. There were people literally scratching at the Supreme Court door as if they could get in and stop him from being sworn in. They've gone completely nutty. How do you counterbalance that, and how do we get the voices, because I think the majority of America aren't like that, how do we get the voices of the normal people among us to rise to the top again, or is that a really hard get because the media is so enjoying the ratings they're getting from showing these idiots?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a triple threat against us. That's the media, the opposing party, and then rhinos within our own party
right.
who are letting things happen like this. So, you know, it's three against one. But no, we already made manifest, I think, our need for a change in the system, in the corruption, in the lack of accountability in 2016,
yeah.
when it wasn't necessarily Trump as the man, as a person, but that Trump movement where the people stood up and said, enough is enough.
Right.
Status quo has got to go. We'll make a difference. But it's funny, a couple of my girlfriends and I, we were texting the last couple of days during the Kavanaugh discussions going, holy moly, can you imagine if our little group of girlfriends out there, we went out there and protested like these radical crazy people. You know, we were getting a kick out of it going, how the heck do they think that's effective?
Yeah.
No, the more they become unhinged, I think the more that reasonable, rational Americans, which is the majority, we say, nah, enough is enough of that. And we're going to get in there. We're going to put government back on our side, get it off our back. We're going to follow the Constitution. Constitution's all about limiting government so we can govern ourselves. And no, Joe, I think people like you who have the guts to be out there every day in the arena making a difference, we're listening to you guys. So keep it up.
Okay, we're going to do that. Sarah, thanks a million. Along with millions of other Americans, I voted for you in 2008. I'd vote for you in a heartbeat again. I really appreciate you reaching out, and thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on, lots to get to. Certainly take your thoughts on the interview with Sarah Palin. Carrie, first of all, I was really just thrilled to have the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it went very
well.
Very
good. Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to bet, I mean, just listening to her speak and how engaged she is on the entire thing, would you think she's running in 2022?
I would say yes. Yeah.
If the election were now or in 2020, I'd say it's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's hedging her bets a little bit because it's 4 years away, and a lot can happen in 4 years.
Yeah, that is true. But so it sounds like I would say yes.
Enjoyed the conversation big time. Hopefully we'll have her on again. We really appreciate the governor for taking the time. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Your phone calls in a second. In the meantime, I've got to remind you about Blink. Blink is a great security system. I've got the Blink cameras at the house, and what happens is they're motion activated. So if something moves in front of it, the motion activation will send you a notification on your phone, on your device. It'll say, this camera, like you get to name the cameras. Like one of my cameras says garage, one says front door. And you can, it'll say something's happening at one of those doors, on the patio, maybe the dog camera. It's a great system because it gives you peace of mind. And it's in complete HD. It's crystal clear audio and video, even at night. It's motion activated HD cameras. They're wireless. Easy to set up in just minutes. They run on batteries that could last up to 2 years. And Blink's live feed option lets you monitor what's happening at your home at any time. Get three Blink cameras for way less than the other guys, plus an extra 15% off. Visit blinkprotect.com/PAGS, P-A-G-S. blinkprotect.com/PAGS, blinkprotect.com/PAGS. Blink is an Amazon company. All right, let me grab a few phone calls here. A lot of people have a lot they want to say, and I appreciate you being patient. It's going to be Tom in Minnesota. Tom, you have, Tom is for some reason on hold, which is weird. Huh. Tom, are you there? That was weird. I'm not sure what's going on with that line, to be honest with you. Check out line four, Sam. See if Tom is still there. In the meantime, let me go to line one. Is Joel in Minnesota? Hi, Joel. What's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing? First thing, let me tell you, that was one of the best interviews I have ever heard in my life.
Wow. Thank you so much.
It was really good. And I mean, you are a great American. And
thank you.
Sarah Palin is the rock star of great Americans. I just love her.
I do too. I was thrilled to talk to her. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
What I'd like to say is I heard you say something a while ago. That's what made me call in. Is you said, you know, they said it, you know, it didn't matter if he was guilty or not guilty. Well, the other day I was listening to another radio show, and they said it didn't matter if he was guilty or not guilty as long as it was credible. You know, and they kept using that word credible. And I started thinking, well, back in Benghazi, you know, Hillary was credible. You know, whether she was guilty or not, well, you know what I mean. But, I mean, she was credible. And so if that's what I call credible, the Democrats aren't doing anything but trying to just throw this country off and throw it back into I don't know what they're trying to do. I mean, they're just trying to just send it back into a daze where we don't want to go. I drive a truck all over America. I want to tell you, since Trump has been in the presidency, I mean, wages are going up. We get paid
right.
more money per mile, and we're just the working guy. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Joel, I hear you. Unfortunately, I'm running out of time, but I think that everything that you just said is very well put, and I want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate truckers, especially long-haul truckers. I mean, come on, man. You guys are getting the job done, delivering the goods and stuff that we need, and we appreciate you. We've got a lot of people who drive trucks who listen. Got to hit a break here. Back tomorrow on television. We continue on radio. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also the live video feed. It is the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Monday. It's a Motown Monday. Carrie, a lot of people want the
Impeach 45.
They want that parody, but I don't know that I have it in me.
Yeah, maybe not today, huh?
I'll go to bat for the people. I just don't know if that's going to happen. Junior Walker and his All-Stars, 1965 on Motown Records. Motown, of course, short for Motortown, where they were making the cars in the day. All right, glad to have you here. There's a lot going on, and the Kavanaugh swearing-in that happened on Saturday happened again ceremoniously a little while ago by President Trump. I did not, because I was on the air, did not get to hear what he said, but from what I understand, hashtag Trump don't care. Do you know what he said? Because I'm getting a lot of hashtag Trump don't care.
I haven't. I can look it up, though.
I mean, I can always watch it afterwards and see if it's worthy of the show tomorrow, which it probably will be. He was in rare form when he was in Kansas.
Ooh,
in
yeah.
rare form today in Orlando. I'm sure he was in rare form for this one. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, there's also a story out there about who might take on Susan Collins. And I know that you're getting me a story for that.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Collins is the Republican out of Maine. She's a pro-abortion Republican who voted yes on Brett Kavanaugh. So now, of course, the left thinks that they can somehow unseat her in Maine. And the person that they're bandying about, is that person from Maine?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. So let me know if you get a story in that. I definitely
okay,
want to hear about
one.
That. Okay, bottom of this hour is going to be Tony Perkins. He is the president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org. And we talk about Kavanaugh. How did we get here? How is it that it's such a contentious political atmosphere now in this country, and does the left really think that what it's running on is going to be a winning combination? Do that at the bottom of the hour for you. What do you have for me out of Maine? This is interesting.
Yeah, this one is from ABC News. Susan Rice walked back a much-discussed tweet from last week at a panel discussion on Sunday, but said she will give a run against Maine GOP Senator Susan Collins due consideration. Rice, who served as National Security Advisor under President Barack Obama, opened eyes on Friday when she responded to a question asking if anyone was willing to challenge Collins in the wake of her confirmation vote for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Former Obama White House Communications Director Jen Psaki tweeted, "Who wants to run for Senate in Maine? There will be an army of supporters with you," to which Rice responded simply, "Me." And Rice spoke at a panel during the New Yorker Festival on Sunday and said she had to do a lot more homework before seriously committing to a run. "I made the tweet. I later elaborated that this wasn't where my head was," Rice said Sunday, "but I have been moved by the enthusiasm. I'm going to give it due consideration after the midterms." Collins serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee and has been a critical swing vote while President Donald Trump's been in office. She gave a 45-minute speech on the Senate floor on Friday, committing to voting yes for Kavanaugh's confirmation.
Actually, the story is incorrect. She's not on the Senate Judiciary Committee, so I'm not sure why they said that. But she certainly was a yes vote in the main Senate vote the other day. Because remember, they keep on complaining that the entire committee is 11 white men.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Collins is, last I checked, not going to be a white man. So ABC News gets that story wrong. But then again, if you say they got it wrong, you're trying to shut us up, you're Hitler. Hitler? So you always get that. If you say anything against anybody anymore, you're Hitler. Let's break this down for a second, because there's a good chance, and Carrie, you're going to agree with this, there's a good chance that I'm an ass wagon.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Out of everything we Definitely. Talk about, yes. that's what you uh-huh. hesitate
I
the least about.
I know. Can't help it. Give me something, wow. man. I need a little
Just
something
horrible.
Lighthearted today.
Just horrible. So maybe I'm not following, but Susan Rice, is that the same? Because it could be a different Susan Rice.
Mm-hmm.
This might be other Susan Rice. Because the Susan Rice I'm thinking about from the Obama administration,
yeah,
wasn't that the National Security Advisor?
Yeah.
Or whatever she became after that. I forget what the position was after that. Who went on five Sunday news programs and said that Benghazi was a reaction, a spontaneous reaction to a videotape on YouTube.
Yes.
Is this the same person?
That would be. Yes.
So if I'm running against Susan Rice, all I have to say is, yeah, but she's the one that lied about the whole videotape thing over and over and over again. Then they'll be like, well, what would you do about the Maine economy? Well, I've got an answer. She's the one that lied about the Benghazi thing. Okay, well, we've got potholes and we need the roads fixed in Maine. What would you do about it? Well, I just want to reiterate that she's the one that lied about Benghazi, where four Americans died. She's a big, fat, lying liar. Liar! So, I mean, I don't know what else you'd have to say. And then I would put my ad campaign together. And the ad campaign would say, I'm running against Susan Rice. She's the one that lied about the videotape starting the riot that killed four Americans when it was actually a coordinated attack by a terrorist organization. Please vote for me. What else do you have to say? I triple dog dare her to run. Carry on. Don't make me do it. Okay, I'm going to do it.
What?
I quadruple dog dare her to run.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Now she has
I went quad dog.
Oh, you skipped the triple. I know. Wow,
that's right.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, quad dog. I quadruple dog dare her to run for senator out of the great state of Maine.
Now she has to now.
Because as flawed as Susan Collins might be, and as rhino as she acts sometimes, that was an incredibly rational, an incredibly insightful and intelligent speech she gave the other day as to why she supports and supported Judge Kavanaugh. I don't understand why anybody... So I want her... Please run. I want her to... You know what I mean? I need her to run for that position now.
Uh-huh. She may.
And I don't care. Ooh. I don't care who's running against her. The guy's name could be Fart Fartinson, and he'll still win against Susan Rice in Maine. I do believe Fart Fartinson is considering... I think he's considering a run.
I think so.
Paulo, is he considering a run? I think he is.
Maybe.
I know you're tight with his campaign. If you can get a hold of them and let me know. Sam, anything on that? Can we get him on a show?
I don't think so.
Okay, here you go. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line one. It's going to be Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan, what's going on? Hi.
How you doing, Joe?
Living a dream, Dan. Talk to me.
Hey, I wanted to see if you knew anything about a story in Zelenople, Pennsylvania, about a young man that was accused of sexual assault by five girls. Now, it's not really on the news around our local stations here. I can read about it on
When did it happen?
Well, it's been going on for the last few months now. But,
I'm not familiar, no.
Five girls. Well, yeah, because nobody's reporting about it.
Talk to me. Fill me in.
But there was five girls, and they accused this young man of sexual assault on two different occasions. The kid was ridiculed, bullied. He was fired from his job at a community pool. This kid went through hell. And then the girl said, well, we lied. That didn't really happen. So the DA wouldn't even press charges against the five girls or their families because they're juveniles. This kid spent time in a juvenile detention center. He went through two hearings. He had home detention. And all over a lie by five girls, conspired by five girls. And, you know, I don't even hear about it. The only way I heard about this was on a small AM radio station around Pittsburgh here because nobody's reporting on it. So now the parents are suing the school district, the DA, the five parents. They're just suing everybody they can, which I don't blame them. This kid, he had to quit school. And there's been instances while he was still in school where they put masking tape with the word predator on his back, him not knowing about it, in his choir practice, and kids walking around all day with predator on his back. That's the kind of treatment this kid's receiving.
Well, they should absolutely now, have brought charges from the DA's office, and without a doubt, there should be civil charges here, without a doubt. You can't bring charges like that, not in this very heated up atmosphere. You can't bring a charge like that and just get away with it by saying, "Dad, we were just kidding." Can't do that.
And that's what happened. Oh, we were kidding. But the DA does not want to do anything about it. So now the parents are suing. They're suing everybody.
As well they should. And I'm guessing the point is not everybody who makes an accusation is telling the truth.
Well, you know, here's the worst part about it. The kid was basically vindicated by the girls coming forward and saying, yeah, we lied. It didn't really happen. But the kid is still receiving the treatment as if he did it.
Well, then more people need to
they just want to let go.
More people need to get the word out. But again, in this, I appreciate it. Thank you, Dan. In this atmosphere, where if somebody says it happened, it absolutely happened until you prove your innocence. That's what you're going to run into. That's why due process is as flawed as it is, and it's flawed. It's still the best process on planet Earth because you get the assumption that you didn't do it. You get that assumption. Now it's up to the state to prove that you did. That's why this is in place. Because if it were the other way around, you'd have, you know, jail cells and prison cells that are bowing because they're so overflowing. And you'd have a bunch of people. I feared as he was telling that story, he was going to say the kid committed suicide or something. And I'm glad that he didn't. But if somebody brings a charge like that, a false charge like that, there needs to be hell to pay to dissuade the next person from doing it.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
PAGS, 888-941-7247, about 12 minutes away from Tony Perkins. He's the president of FRC.org. That's the Family Research Council. Make sure you stick around because we talk about a lot. And of course, we spend time on Brett Kavanaugh and that entire process that really did expose our political system for being as broken as it really is. A lot of phone calls coming in as well. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Carrie, I actually saw a tweet that has now since been taken down, and I think she got rid of her entire account, although once she tweeted it's out there. Do you have the story on this Minnesota teacher that is actually calling for the death of Brett Kavanaugh?
I do. This is from WCCO. An alleged threat on social media has launched an investigation into a paraprofessional from Rosemount Schools. Social media erupted with activity after a tweet went out saying, so who's going to take one for the team and kill Kavanaugh? The tweet was referring to newly confirmed U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Not long after Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in as the newest U.S. Supreme Court Justice, a Saturday post on social media received national attention. Independent School District 917 Superintendent Mark Zuzik says the district heard several complaints about the social media post over the weekend. He said the individual who posted the tweet is a paraprofessional at a school in Rosemount. The employee has been placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation, Zuzik said in a statement. Pursuant with the Data Practices Act, we are limited to providing additional information regarding this matter. That's messed up. Matt Blue said of the tweet, I don't think you should be inciting violence because someone might actually do it. And people across the metro are reacting. There's no time for people to think. They just tweet. Mary Jo said, why this teacher be saying something like that? It's crazy. Jeff Husady added. The account of the person who posted the tweet's been taken down, as well as messages blasting the post. And the teaching assistant has not been charged with a crime. The school district is also investigating.
People have lost their minds. People have completely lost their minds. And then there's this Ariel Dumas. You know who that is? The writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah, I heard about her today.
She tweeted out, whatever happens, I'm just glad we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life. And then she was, I guess, forced to apologize yesterday. The last couple of weeks have been hard for the country and for me personally. The complexity of frustration, anger, and sadness can't be accurately conveyed on Twitter, and I regret my tone-deaf attempt at sarcasm in the wake of it. Why have the past 2 weeks been so hard on her? Do you know, Carrie?
I don't.
Is she related to Brett Kavanaugh, one of the accusers?
Not that I know of.
So, I mean, why have they been so hard? Brett Kavanaugh's been a Supreme Court justice since Saturday. Has Roe v. Wade been overturned?
No.
Has every American been handed an AR-15?
No.
Have we kicked out anybody who's not white?
No.
So all of this BS that they were claiming would happen hasn't happened. Then, by the way, she tweeted this out on Saturday. Brett Kavanaugh is 100% going to ask Justice Sotomayor to fetch him coffee. I've never seen the show. Yes, I know he pronounces it Colbert, whatever. I've never seen Stephen Colbert on The Late Night Show, The Late Show, whatever it is. Have never, ever once seen that program, and I don't plan to. But this is who he's hiring to write his crap? How is that funny? And then something about, I don't know about Kavanaugh. This is from July, I guess, right after he was announced as the nominee. I don't know much about Kavanaugh, but I'm skeptical because his name is Brett, and then there's some YouTube video that she attaches to it. I guess I just don't understand. I guess I'm missing the point here. And maybe that's exactly what it is. The left in this country thinks that they are individually harmed by a nominee to the Supreme Court. They think individual harm will become them and their family because Brett Kavanaugh is now on the court. I don't remember anybody who's a conservative saying, I can't believe you're going to put Ruth Bader Ginsburg on there, a clearly left-leaning person who thinks that you can adjust and mold the Constitution as you go. I don't remember us going, Mama, can I have some more potatoes? And can you believe that lady's on the court? Who does that? This is a woman who's going through her very, you know, upper class. I'm sure she gets paid a ton of money to write for a network television show, probably living right there in New York City, and life is fine for her. She probably still went and got her coffee in the morning and a bagel. Maybe went to the to the Stage Deli or something for lunch. And then went back to work and wrote some crap and got a bunch of money. She really thought that her life was going to change exponentially with the appointment of this dude to the Supreme Court. This is how nutsy they are. Carrie, that's how I used to speak. Mama, can I have some more potatoes?
Really?
Mama, can you believe that lady going to be on the
so
court?
Cute.
And that was cute at one point. So let me go to the phone lines. And again, keep in mind, it's going to be the president of FRC.org, Tony Perkins, after the bottom of the hour. But let me go to the phones and say hello and welcome to Martha in San Antonio. Martha, what's going on?
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Martha.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that I think it's kind of a good thing that Dianne Feinstein held on to that letter for 6 weeks, because, I mean, wouldn't we have heard more stupidity and violence from the left? And one more thing, for the first time ever, I'm 63 years old, and I'm going to register tomorrow to vote.
Great.
My husband is too, for the first time ever.
Wow. Did this process motivate you guys to go and do that?
Yes, sir. We've never really been into politics, but when I watched Donald Trump come down the stairs and he said that he was going to be the best president ever, I wanted to believe him,
yeah. And
my heart believed him, and now I know it's true.
I think there are a lot of people like you. I think there are a lot of people like you and your husband who probably haven't said it out loud. Thank you, Martha. I appreciate you calling in. A lot of people like you are probably going to go and do the same thing. Going to go and register to vote, going to go and vote, going to go and get this done, going to go and take part in the process. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the right thing to do, and I think there are a lot of people who won't call a radio show and say so. By the way, I disagree on her releasing it earlier would have caused even more wrangling and rancor. I disagree. I think that had she released it early on, I think that the end result would have been we would have had the investigation sooner. And if you had the investigation sooner, he would have been confirmed a lot sooner. I think he would have been on the court for several weeks now. Feinstein sat on that letter for a simple reason. She must not have believed it. She must not have believed it. It's not like she had an independent, you know, investigation going on. She sat on it because she didn't think he was going to be able to get past the committee. And I don't know that she believed that the allegations were strong enough. When she knew that she needed it, that's when she went to it. And she completely released the privacy of Dr. Ford when Dr. Ford wanted to stay anonymous. Very, very strange how the whole thing unfolded. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We come back, it'll be Tony Perkins. He is the president of FRC, Family Research Council. Go to frc.org. All right, go and make that happen. Also, we'll have plenty of time for your phone calls on the program. It's the Joe Pags Show. We're coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back the president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org. It's Tony Perkins. Tony, how are you?
Good, Joe. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Man, we just went through a month. I think that will probably go down in the annals of history in this country as some of the most contentious stuff we've ever seen. But the end of the day, we've got Brett Kavanaugh on the court. Your thoughts about him getting there?
Well, I think it is a very significant day. I think it's a significant day for the Constitution. I think it's a significant day for the American people. What we see now, I think for the first time in probably 50, maybe 60 years, we see the court moving back toward the boundaries of the Constitution, a court that is not going to use the bench to shape activist policies, but rather they're going to interpret the laws enacted by the duly represented and elected representatives of the people on the court, which is their role. So I think it's an exciting day.
Well, it was always supposed to be that way, bound by the Constitution. I mean, just those words have so much strength and so much power to them. The Supreme Court was never supposed to be this thing that it's morphed into. How did we get here?
Well, it took a number of years. But you go back, at least from a standpoint of the way that conservatives have been so engaged on this issue, and what we saw play out over the last 3 weeks, where it came down to people, scratching and clawing at the doors of the Supreme Court.
Literally, yeah.
You know, the wailing and the gnashing of teeth that took place shows how the court has gotten so far out of its boundaries in terms of what it's supposed to do in this country. And the left is desperate because the left knows that the American people overwhelmingly reject their policies. They don't want them. They can't do it through the people. They can't do it through the state legislatures. They can't do it through the Congress by and large. So they have had to rely on the court. I mean, look, let me rattle off a few things for you. What legislative body voted prayer out of our schools and took the Bible out of the schools?
Right. No,
I don't think there was one.
There wasn't.
Who was it that imposed abortion on demand on the nation? Was it the Congress?
Nope.
No. Who took the Ten Commandments out of our courthouses? Wasn't a legislative body. So,
right.
I mean, I can go on and on. And finally, we're at a point where we can see the court shift back to its proper boundaries. It's going to have a significant impact upon our culture, upon our country, and upon the way we make laws in this country.
He's the president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org. His name is Tony Perkins. Tony, you just made some great points. There is no abortion in the Constitution. Should not have been decided by that court. There is no separation of church and state in the Constitution. Should not have been decided by that court. The court has gone well beyond its realm for a long time now. Is that the reason, in your opinion, why this was such a hard get to get Kavanaugh on the court? Kavanaugh's got almost 30 years of experience. He's got an impeccable record. By all accounts, he's a really good man, a really good husband, a really good dad, and one heck of a great jurist. They had to pretend he was a gang rapist, Tony, to try to stop him from getting on the court. And that's the desperation you're talking about, I guess.
Yes, absolutely, Joe. They have to have the court to accomplish their mission, to impose this view, that this agenda that the American people have rejected repeatedly. So they have to have the court. They lost the court. They're losing the court in this.
Yeah.
Because, look, you had Anthony Kennedy, who was, 50% of the time he was with the conservative
right.
element of the court, 50% with the liberal. Now you have a judge based upon his judicial philosophy. He is going to be with the other conservatives on the court that see it from a strict constitutionalist viewpoint. So this is a big shift in our country. Now, what we've seen, and I think what played out, this division, we hear, oh, this country is so divided. Well, in large part, Joe, it was the court that divided us.
Right.
It was the court that imposed these views on Americans that we never arrived at consensus over. The way our republic works is that we have these elected representatives that work through these issues. They arrive at consensus. It's not what one side wants totally, nor the other side, but it's a consensus. But when the court steps in and short circuits that process, like it did on abortion, like it did on marriage, you do not reach consensus, and there is division in the culture. I've never seen it more intense than it is right now. And until the court moves back to its proper boundaries and the elected representatives shape the policies for this country, it will continue.
It's Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org. You bring up some very important points. I'll add marriage to what I said a little while ago about what wasn't in the Constitution, because it's not in there. So the state should be
right.
deciding these things. Having said that, what about the politics of personal destruction? They will take a person that they can't absolutely do anything to on the merits. As Kavanaugh said, you couldn't beat me on the merits. Suddenly a letter that you had for 2 months showed up. You couldn't beat me on the merits. Suddenly I'm this horrible guy. I'm evil, according to one. You've got one guy saying that he's Spartacus. You've got the other people, interrupting Grassley every time he spoke. Did they overplay their hand, do you think? Are we going to start to see the winding down of the politics of personal destruction when you're going after somebody you just don't like politically?
I wish the answer to that was yes, that it's going to begin decreasing. We're not going to see that because they saw that it didn't work. I wish that were the case. I don't think it is. I think what's happening here, Joe, is that we're seeing the left throw a tantrum because they're accustomed to Republicans folding when the opposition
right.
gets intense, when they fire those first rounds of those personal destructive rounds that they fire, they find that Republicans, why did they go after the whole, alleging that he was a gang rapist, that he, sexually attacked people? Because look, conservatives, we care about those things.
Right.
Those are important. We don't want that type of stuff elevated in our society. In fact, we think it has no place in our society.
Right.
So they think that they're going to make him radioactive by accusing him of that, and then everybody is just going to run from him. Well, it's a new day. Because we've seen that card played over and over and over again. And what's happening now is that the same cultural elite that were attacking him, the media and others playing into that, well, they're the same people who are attacking the values that conservatives across this country hold so dear.
Right.
Same reason they attacked President Trump. That's why I think President Trump's support is so solid among conservatives, is because it's the same people that have been attacking conservatives for the last four decades that are now attacking the president and all of his nominees. So I think we're in a new day. I think Republicans have finally gotten a backbone. Conservatives are saying, you know what? If we want to keep this republic, we have to fight for it. And that means we have to stand up to the personal attacks. And yeah, we're going to have to take some ugly hits. But you know what? We're not going to capitulate. We're not running up a white flag. In fact, we don't own any white flags anymore. We're going to keep charging.
Right. Well, with this president, I think you're right. I think the white flags were put away, if not thrown out. With a different president, do you think they would have folded? Because politically speaking, it would have made sense for the guy who nominated him to say, I rescind the nomination. With another president, it would have been very quick for Kavanaugh to say, I rescind, you know, I don't accept the nomination because of these things. I'm a distraction. We always hear that one from our side. I don't want to be a distraction, so I'm going to get out of the way. Was it the backbone of this president?
Yes. No question. It's a new day.
Yeah.
I mean, look, courage breeds courage. And I don't agree with everything this president has said and done in his lifetime.
Right.
But I do agree with his leadership today. America, when we were going into this election in 2016, many of us saw for what it was. Our republic was hanging by a thread over a raging fire.
Right.
And we had Donald Trump who said, you know what? I'm going to give it my best shot to save it. And we said, I don't know, but we don't have an option, and we're going with you. And look what he's done. He's done exactly what he said he was going to do. He's fighting, and people are tired of being pushed around, being marginalized by the left. Now, that doesn't mean, and let me be very clear here, Joe. We understand, as Christians, I'm going to speak to this from a Christian standpoint, because I run a Christian ministry.
Right.
And that's the way we look at these things. The Democrats are not our enemy. The LGBTQ community is not our enemy. We don't hate those people at all. We love those people. But we love them enough to speak truth because we know that what America has to offer will only continue if we have a solid moral foundation. And so we're going to work to preserve that foundation, and we're going to work to strengthen America again so that it can be a nation that not only allows people here in this country to prosper, but when America is strong, the world is more stable. Yeah. America has a leading role to play, and for the first time in a long time, we have an administration that understands that.
In the minute or so we have left with Tony Perkins, the FRC president, it's the Family Research Council. Go to FRC.org. Let me ask you about the midterms. Going about a month or so ago, month and a half, 2 months ago, the House was certainly going blue. It was going to be a blue wave, and the Senate probably would go blue too. As it sits today, if we stay motivated and energized, I think the Senate probably picks up two or three Republican seats, and the House is now up for grabs. In the overplaying the hand that I asked about a little while ago by the left, do you think that it's awakened a lot of people who are center, right, maybe even conservative who sat on their hands and said, I can't vote for a Trump? Is it going to make them go to vote in November, Tony? Less than a month from now, we're going to find out who gets the House and the Senate. Are they re-energized? Will you see now this blue wave go away?
I think your analysis is correct. I think we see maybe two or three seats picked up in the Senate. I think the House is a toss-up. The difference I see, though, is that I think there were people who were Trump, very supportive of Trump, not supportive of a Congress that they don't think has done a whole lot.
Okay.
This needs to have at least a Republican Congress to watch his back while he does the majority of the work. So I think they're motivated to go vote because of what this president has accomplished.
And do you agree with me that that's because the left will stop at nothing to politically win?
Absolutely. They look, I think what was on display in the last 3 weeks is how desperate the left is to keep the levers of government, and they want to do it through the courts. And they know that intuitively, if there's this much opposition, this president, this administration must be doing something right, regardless of what the media says.
We always appreciate the time. It's Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, FRC.org. Tony, thanks a million.
Hey, great to be with you.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Somebody's alarm going off in the car outside?
No.
I'm hearing something, some sort of a beeping in the background. Or somebody's breaking into my car out front. Who knows?
Uh-oh.
So there you go. Yeah, it turns out, and a friend of mine, Chris Williams, who is very funny with her tweets, said, what'd she say? Let's see. Hold on a second. Pretty good. Cool. We'll be easier to spot and avoid the lunatics. Come on. It's actually pretty good.
They're going to stand out.
Yeah, you really can't complain about that. We've got time for a phone call or two at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, or joepags.com. Let me remind you here, it's Newsmax TV. Newsmax TV, great, great television network. You'll see me there Monday through Friday, so you know it's got to be good, right? The Brett Kavanaugh case. Think the case proves the media is out of control? I agree with you. It used to be a man was innocent until proven guilty, but if you watch MSNBC and CNN, they see it the other way. If you're a conservative like Brett Kavanaugh, well, you're guilty. That's the answer. Better media is the answer. Honest media. There's a channel I've been watching that I'm on. It's called Newsmax TV. It's America's real conservative news channel. I like it. You should check out Newsmax TV as well. You get great guests, people like Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Pat Buchanan, and many others. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV Channel 349, Dish 216, UVerse 1220, and Fios 615. That's DirecTV 349, Dish 216, UVerse 1220, and Fios 615. All right? Remember to go to your smartphone store as well. You can download the free Newsmax TV app. Watch them anytime, anywhere in the world. Newsmax TV, real news for real people like you and me. So jump on that. 888-941-PAGS. That's the number to call in. It's going to be Tulsa and Bill. Bill, what's going on? Hi. Come on, Bill. Bill, you've been holding a long time. Say words. And the thing is, I can hear him in the background. What's the issue? Let's try it again. Bill, talk to me. It's like he's listening to the radio and not really doing much else. Isn't that weird, Carrie?
It is. I can hear him.
You've got people in Tulsa, right? Can't you talk to him?
I do, yeah. Well, I don't know if I know him. I'll let
Bill
go. But...
Bill can call back if you'd like to be heard. By the way, I will try my best to post the Sarah Palin video and audio over on the Facebook page and on Twitter and everywhere else after the program. Lots of great response to the interview with the former governor of the great state of Alaska. So, Julie Swetnick, if you're Julie Swetnick, don't you just go away now?
Well, I would think you would. Wouldn't you want to?
Julie Swetnick unloads on media. GOP, colon, I am disgusted and appalled by the way I had been re-victimized. Julie Swetnick on Sunday, yesterday, wrote that she was disgusted and appalled by the reaction to her uncorroborated claims last month that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh engaged in systemic gang rapes decades ago. Swetnick's allegations, which key swing vote Senator Susan Collins, are from Maine, called outlandish on Friday, have been cited by top Democrats and observers as so unbelievable they might have undermined the credibility of the other accusers, like California professor Christine Blasey Ford. Kavanaugh was confirmed 50-48 by the Supreme Court on Saturday. Quote, as a sexual assault victim, she says, I am disgusted and appalled by the way that I have been re-victimized over the last 2 weeks after I had the courage to come forward, Swetnick said in a statement released by, guess who? Guess who released the statement? Guess.
Michael Avenatti.
An anti-Trump attorney who represents her, quote, I had every right to come forward, and I literally placed my life in jeopardy to do so. I would disagree with that, literally. In an interview with NBC last week, Swetnick could not say whether she ever saw Kavanaugh or his friend, Mark Judge, spike the punch at the Maryland House parties with drugs, seemingly contradicting her prior sworn statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee, in which she definitively said that she became aware of efforts by Kavanaugh and Judge to do so in the early 1980s. But on Sunday, Swetnick stuck with her original statement and took a shot at Collins for, quote, caring more about politics than women and victims, end quote. Quote, I stated the truth in my sworn declaration, and I stand by everything in it, Swetnick wrote, noting that she has previously passed 6 security clearance investigations and knows of multiple corroborating witnesses. By the way, none of those security clearances was asking questions about whether she was or wasn't raped or whether she did or didn't see Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge take part in any of this garbage. So adding that to it doesn't make any sense. She says she gave NBC News names of four friends she said could corroborate her story. The network said two of those people had not responded to the request for comments. A third was deceased, and a fourth said she couldn't recall even knowing Swetnick. So I'm not really... What is she complaining about? You think she just wants more publicity or what?
That would be my guess, yes. She didn't get quite enough of it.
Know what I'm saying? Polo's like, I can't find
this
song. He's like, I can't find this song. There it is. Look at that. All right, Polo, make it happen. We made it.
Yeah, just barely.
So, me.
Okay, so did you see this UFC thing that happened over the weekend?
I did not watch it, but I did tweet out that I think that even I could beat the McGregor guy now.
Okay, but did you see all the stuff that happened after the fight?
No, what happened?
Okay, so after Conor McGregor lost to that Khabib guy, he jumped out of the cage and went after Conor McGregor's, I guess, teammate. I guess that's what they're calling it.
Why?
Because he called him a Muslim rat. And, I mean, it just started like a huge melee there. And they're holding his money, so they may end up fining him, like, possibly his entire paycheck for the fight.
Wow. All right, yeah. We got to go. That's it for us, for the entire crew. Joe Pags. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Joe Pags.